Plug those headphones in. It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. If you're in the Portmarnock area, pop into the White Sands Hotel and say hello. You can have a bite to eat. The Oasis Bar and Grill below our studio here has a fantastic menu. They do carvery on a Sunday, live music of the weekends. It's just well worth a visit. And if you're looking for somewhere to stay in Dublin over the summer months, may we recommend the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock. A number of our Opinions Matter listeners have stayed in the hotel in recent months and they all rave about the place. Great staff. It's just very nice. The White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock. And as always, we're extremely grateful to all of the management and staff for everything they have done for us over the last 3 years on Opinions Matter. So what do we want to talk about on this latest edition of the Opinions Matter podcast? Sheila in Eastwall sent us this message, and I want to read it to you, and I want to get your reaction to Sheila's message. Can you talk about this, please? Because I'm disgusted with the response I got on my Facebook. My son is only 25, and last week he overdosed on heroin. He's doing much better now, although he's still in hospital recovering. But I put a post on my page asking people to pray for Dylan, and I got disgusting comments, with people saying he only has himself to blame. They know nothing about addiction. We need to teach them that it's a disease, because I hope it never crosses their door. And that's from a lady called Sheila in Eastwall, in Dublin's north inner city.
Now, we were due to talk to Sheila in about 10 minutes' time, but she saw the comments on her Facebook. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, it's not funny. She saw the comments on her Facebook page and said there's no point in coming on because it's not going to add anything to the... Basically, she's disgusted with the lack of empathy that you guys have for Dylan. And from what I believe, Dylan is due to be released this weekend.
Yes.
And he's doing okay. But she did not like the comments from a lot of you. And we want to make this episode as balanced as possible. So, you know, we don't want caller after caller just saying, oh, they deserved it, they deserved it. The point is, every adult knows about the danger of drugs. Nobody forces heroin into you for the first time you ever take it.
No, of course not.
I'd be of the ilk not to have much sympathy, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you come on. Well, you know me.
You see, okay, I'm going to play a message in a moment from one of our regular listeners, who is a recovering addict. And he says he's disgusted with Irish people's attitude towards addicts. That we see addicts
but it's self-inflicted.
As pond scum. We look down our noses on them. We have zero sympathy for people living with a disease. And that's really the argument that he has. Now, this guy is now clear, but he says that when you're in the throes of the disease, it has complete and utter control of your life. That he believes
it's a
disease.
That may be so. That may be so. But still, it doesn't take away from the fact that he chose to take heroin. Yeah.
Mm.
He chose to take heroin. You know, if you take heroin, the danger of it, that you could actually overdose on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you can't expect people to have sympathy.
Why? He's a human being. He's a human being who is suffering from an addiction, and Sheila believes it's a disease.
But if I was cycling down the road today and I came off the bike in an accident and I split my head open, the first thing you would say to me is, why didn't you wear a helmet? You knew about the dangers of cycling without a helmet.
I may say that, yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
How is it the exact same thing?
Because I just said it was.
The only thing I agree with you on is he wasn't forced, or maybe he was forced to take it in the first place, but generally, no, he made that decision, yeah?
Okay, well, let's hear from this fella.
Okay, so this is a message that came in on our WhatsApp on 085-825-2626. That's the number that you can also send a message to. And I'm going to call this guy, this isn't his name, but we're going to refer to this guy as Richie.
Very good topic, very close to home. I won't be able to come on today, but as a recovering addict of 20 years, it was now 7 months clean. I find us Irish people absolutely disgusting. To point fingers at somebody and look down on them as if they're the scum of the earth just because they might have made a bad choice at a certain stage of their life. They might have done it to suppress feelings. They might have just done it for fun because their friends were doing it. It is a disease after a while. It gets you. It gets a hold of you. And all that disease wants you to do is have that. Have your drug or your drink or whatever it is. And you don't care what you do to get it. That's the disease. And listen, people can come on and they can say that, oh, it's not a disease, it's not a disease. People who say it's not a disease are the ones who have never dealt with addiction or had addiction in their family or friends or anything like that. If you have addiction anywhere near you, you see how hard it is for them people. You see the choices and what they do to themselves. It's horrible. Horrible. It is a disease. And yeah, look, you're going to have your people saying, no, it's not. It is. That's where we see it.
It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy, where your opinion matters.
Now, the message from Richie that we played a moment ago, in his message he said, he's ashamed of the Irish, the way we point fingers, we look down on drug addicts who may have made a bad choice in their life. We all make bad choices at times in our lives.
Very bad choice. I've never made that choice now.
You don't know the reason that they ever took the drugs. It could have been to suppress feelings in their lives. It could have been just to give it a try. I
mean, okay, now you're just excusing drug taking.
I'm not excusing it. I'm merely, listen to that guy. He's a recovering addict.
The only people that believe that drug addiction is a disease are people who actually have drug addiction.
No, I don't agree with you. I think, Sheila does. She's not addicted. She said, they know nothing about addiction. We need to teach them that it's a disease because I hope it never crosses their door.
Well, I hope it never crosses anybody's door. But you take your first drug. No, nobody pins you down and forces that first drug into you.
Let me go to John. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, John?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good, thanks, John. So Sheila's message was that she put up a post on Facebook recently asking people to pray for her son who's in hospital after overdosing on heroin. And she got very little sympathy. In fact, she said the comments were absolutely disgusting. What do you want to say on this?
Addiction's in no way a disease. How do you catch addiction? I've never gone to the doctor and he says, oh, geez, sorry, John, you're off addiction.
People have cancer. You don't catch cancer. You develop cancer. You don't catch it.
But that's within your cells. There's no cells that turn you into an addict. No one's ever just woken up one morning and gone, geez, I'm addicted to heroin.
No, it doesn't happen that way. I agree. However, some people are just have much more of an addictive personality and much more likely to become addicted.
So I do it in the first place if you have an addictive personality.
But you don't know it until it actually happens to you.
It's not the 80s anymore. People know heroin's a dirty, filthy drug. You just have to walk the streets of Dublin to see what it does. Yeah. If you're traumatised, you're hardly looking at a lad sleeping in a bin bag going, Jesus, I'm traumatised. I want to be like that.
No, maybe not. Maybe you not. But the point is that message that we played and Sheila's message is we need to be more empathetic to people who are living with an illness, who are living with a disease, living with a substance that literally is controlling their lives and they can do nothing about it.
That's on them. That's nothing to do with the rest of Ireland. People should be shamed for taking drugs.
Should be shamed for taking drugs.
It might stop people from starting it. There should be a stigma around it rather than just, oh, the poor junkie. It's their fault. Let them deal with the consequences.
One of the things that people often say is, obviously, addiction has never come to your door. Aren't you the lucky one?
It has in my family. I'm not going to get too much into it, but that was their fault. Nothing to do with anyone else. I have zero sympathy.
Obviously. Zero.
Family or otherwise. They chose that life.
And do you not accept that, yes, I mean, the point that was made in that voice note a minute ago is, yes, some people make bad choices. A lot of us make bad choices in life.
And you have to live with the consequences.
You don't get addicted from doing a line of coke at a party. From constant use, and then you need it. It's not, you don't just do it once and then you're suddenly addicted. It's a life choice. It's like someone getting in a car and gone 180 kilometres down to M1, up and down, up and down, up and down. They might crash one time. Would you go, oh, the poor crater? He was addicted to spot speeding up and down the M50.
No, you mightn't say that.
And actually, Adrian, for you, for you to call it a disease is actually very offensive to people.
No, no, I actually haven't called it a disease. I'm merely relaying what people like Sheila and the guy in that message are saying, and they have, they have first-hand experience of living with it.
It's a mental weakness, is what it is.
It's a mental weakness.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's accept that maybe it's a. It's a mental weakness, but you would condemn somebody for having a mental weakness.
Yeah, but they've chosen that path. They didn't slip into a bag of coke and their nose landed it. Didn't fall onto a needle and push the plunger down. They chose to do that.
So you have zero sympathy for anybody who is in addiction, who overdoses on drugs. That guy didn't set out to, deliberately to overdose at the weekend. It's what happened to him.
What happens when you choose that path? You live by the sword, die by the sword.
See, Adrian, the point you kept making is we all make mistakes.
We do all make mistakes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've made a bundle of mistakes in my life, but I've also paid for the consequences of those mistakes. And taking drugs.
Yeah, but this guy, he's paying for the consequences. He's in hospital.
And there you go. That's
he's in hospital.
And that's karma.
But
why should he deserve sympathy?
All the woman asked was, she posted on her Facebook asking people to pray for her son who's in hospital. Now, and that wouldn't be unusual.
I saw the comments that were under the post.
Yeah, and some of them were vile.
Yeah.
Now, the mistake that she made was that the post was actually public, so it was seen by more than family and friends. Yeah, that was the mistake she made. However, some of the comments were absolutely vile.
Yes,
junkie scum deserves to die.
Why would you broadcast that your son is having an overdose on heroin?
But her point is that she accidentally posted it publicly on our Facebook page. She didn't intend to.
Even to family and friends, why would you broadcast that your junkie son's after having an overdose?
Well, she obviously misread the room and thought she was going to be getting sympathy. Sure, I told you, she's pissed off with us now because of the comments that are coming in.
Like, what goes through people's heads? And my poor son, he accidentally stabbed 7 people. We pray for him.
No, it's not somebody who accidentally stabbed somebody. This is somebody who is very ill in hospital. It would not be unusual John. It would not be unusual of a mother to post something like that. Please pray for my son who's very sick in hospital. What's wrong with
you? Hold on, Adrian. At the start of the show, you called John Gilligan a scumbag. Why is that?
Because he is.
Yeah. How did he become a scumbag?
Dealing drugs or importing drugs.
Yeah. That person that's buying the drugs is paying John Gilligan. He's providing him with his house in Torrevieja or whatever. How many people have been murdered over drugs not coming in because there's a market for them? Why would you have any...
Okay, so this guy and his mother, you have absolutely zero sympathy for. None
whatsoever.
Okay, stay there for a second, John, if you can, please. Our number is 085-825-2626. It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. Let me go to Louise. You're on Opinions Matter, Louise. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
No sympathy at all, says John, when this guy ends up in hospital after having a heroin overdose.
Yeah, well, like I said in my comments on the page, you know, I mean, I feel for that lady. But again, you have to realise with social media, you're going to get a backlash. And that's social media for you. You can't take it to heart when you post something on social media. You're going to get the good and the bad, you know. And as I said, keyboard warriors, those people out there who thrive off other people's misfortune, and they just love it. And unfortunately, she's taken it to heart, these comments. She should just, you know, take them with a pinch of salt. It is what it is. You'll get well soon, but you'll also get what a scumbag. He's an addict. All of those things.
Now, as I said, her mistake was that she accidentally posted it publicly, so it wasn't just family and friends that saw it.
Yeah.
Half the world saw it, and half the world commented that. Some of the comments were vile. Junkie scumbag. Yeah. There was one of them. Jeremy said, "Junkie scumbag deserves to die." Like, seriously?
Yeah, no, that's wrong. There's another. She sent us screenshots before she took it down. She won't mind us reading these out because she sent us screenshots. I hope that junk box. I've never heard that expression before.
No, I have, yeah.
I hope that junk box trips over and falls into the Liffey, no loss to anybody.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
Because we are talking about fellow human beings, regardless of what they've done, regardless of anything. Nobody should wish death on anybody.
No, well.
And I think when it comes to addicts, they're obviously, there's something deep down there that they're not exploring, and that they're dealing with something in themselves that's causing them to drink, to take drugs, to gamble, and they're not looking deep inside themselves to fix the problem. I'm talking from experience now, and you know, I can relate to those that get angry and say, you know, they've caused hurt to family, they've caused hurt to others. And they do. And they go down this path and they just cause destruction everywhere they go. And unfortunately, they don't. The drugs come first and the alcohol comes first and everyone else comes last, you know. And it's an awful path.
Isn't that the vicious cycle that you end up in that you have no control over?
No, I guess you're right. But there are those who do go to treatment centres, who do follow 12 steps, who do go to AA meetings, who do try to better themselves and to go on the right path. And then there are those that don't and just can't seem to look within themselves to the bigger issue and carry on that road. And they drag their family and their kids and everyone else with them, you know. You know, I've seen that firsthand myself. There's no need for comments like she got. There's no need to say he's a scumbag, let him die. Obviously, the man is suffering himself.
But isn't that exactly the point? You know, when you hear anybody is sick in hospital and somebody says, pray for him, please, you would at least say, thinking of you, God love him, hope he's okay.
No,
but when it comes to drug addiction, it's like, ah, fuck him, hope he dies, hope he jumps off a bridge. That's just horrible.
Because
again, these are people commenting that don't even know the guy, probably.
No, those comments are disgusting. But what do drug addicts contribute to society? That would be my question. Misery. They rob people to feed their habits, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been in town any day of the week, you'll see them all over the place. Just hanging out, injecting themselves in public. What do they contribute?
But they're human beings, Jeremy.
No, of course.
Falling on hard times.
Falling on hard times. True. Their own stupidity for taking drugs.
No, I'm not going to argue through. However, it is a vicious circle that they're trapped in. That's the point of this conversation.
That they got themselves into.
Stay there for a second, Louise. I want to bring in Jess with her opinion on this.
We all know what happens when you touch heroin. So, sorry, love, but Dylan should have known better. We all know what happens when you touch it. Why would you have sympathy for someone who decided to take something that could kill you? So that with any drug, why would you have sympathy for someone who chose to do that? So get over yourself, his own choices.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a podcast from Ireland with a difference.
Lorraine, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Lorraine?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Lorraine. What did you want to say on this?
I have absolutely no sympathy for anyone that decides to inject that shit into themselves. It's a choice. It's not a disease. I just think heroin's not a new drug. It's not a new drug that's only after coming out in the past couple of years. We all know the effect heroin has on people. Why the hell you would choose to put that shit in your system, I'll never know. And I'll never have sympathy for them. My mom got held up at needlepoint in broad daylight by a junkie. I will never have sympathy for them. Never.
I'd like to think you wouldn't wish death on them.
I wouldn't wish death on them. No, I wouldn't wish death on any human being. I wouldn't wish death on them, but what are they actually contributing to society? Like, he chose to put that in. I hope he's okay and I'm glad he's okay. But he chose to do that. Heroin's not a new drug. This is a drug that's been around since the 80s. We all know the devastating effects that this drug has on everybody. Why now in 2024 is someone choosing to put that shit in their system?
I can't answer that question as to why this guy, Dylan is his name, chose to take heroin in the first place. But the fact is that he did. And his mom is saying, these people know nothing about addiction. We need to teach them that it's a disease.
It's not a disease. Cancer is a disease. Alzheimer's a disease. Choosing to put heroin in your fucking system, sorry, is not a disease. That's not a disease. That's a life choice. You chose to put that shit in your system.
You probably didn't intend to end up in such a state that you're overdosing.
But he knew what he was doing, Adrian. He knew heroin can kill him. You know, as soon as you look at that, it can kill you. It's not a new drug, as I said. This drug has been around since the 80s. It was massive in Dublin in the 80s. We all saw the effect it had. So why in 2024 is she on Facebook looking for sympathy? That's all it is.
Well, she wasn't even looking for sympathy. All she said was, I put up a post on my page asking people to pray for him.
Why, though? Like, what does she actually think everyone's going to say? As you said, she accidentally put it on public.
If he was in hospital after being knocked down by a double-decker bus and said, please pray for him, nobody would bat an eyelid.
But he didn't walk in front of a double-decker bus. He chose to put this shit in his system, and unfortunately he either got a bad batch or took an overdose. That's, like, sorry, he chose to do this himself. I have absolutely none. As I said, since my mum got robbed by one on in broad day on O'Connor Street last year, I have no sympathy. He held a needle to my mother's back and he could have killed her.
And that is awful. And I'm really sorry to hear that. But not every drug addict is holding needles up to your mother's neck.
No, but every you see them, as Jeremy said, shooting up in the middle of town, in the middle of Dublin City, they're all shooting up. I just have none. As I said, if this was a new drug that had just come onto the scene and everyone was just experimenting, thinking, oh, it's a new drug, it's not. Heroin has been around from the 80s, as I said. We know the devastating effect it has. Why the fuck in 2024 you would choose to take that shit is beyond me. I will never have sympathy for any of them. Sorry, you chose to do it. The disease is cancer and Alzheimer's. You don't choose to have them. To be a junkie, you choose to do it in the first place. No sympathy. Never will.
Okay, let me read a message that's just come in to us for you from Orla. And it says, and this is what I just said a moment ago, Lorraine, not every heroin addict robs and holds people up. But picking and choosing who you feel sorry for when they die is horrible. As humans, to hold no empathy or sympathy is sad on you as a person. Death is death. It's sad no matter how they die. What do you say to that?
As I said, I wouldn't wish death on him. I wouldn't say, we're not going to stand here and have a party.
Well, okay, if you heard that a heroin addict had overdosed, you probably wouldn't have much sympathy. Had overdosed and died.
As I said, and I've said it before on this podcast, you choose to put that shit in your system, it can kill you. You know straight away, as I said, it's not a new drug, it's heroin. We all know the devastating effects heroin can have on you. It can kill you the first time you take it. A small amount can the fuck you would choose to put that in your system, I will never understand it. I will never know. Before someone comes at me saying, I don't know anything about addiction, I do. I've dealt with people who are alcoholics. I have dealt with addiction. I just don't understand why the fuck you would choose to put heroin in your system. We all know how addictive it is. We all know the horrible side effects it has on you. We all, I'll never understand it. Never.
All right, stay there for 1 second if you can, please, Lorraine. Karina, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Karina?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, Karina, what did you want to say on this?
I want to put sympathy for that woman. I hope her child recovers and gets into a recovery program. A member of my family started taking heroin at 14 years of age, and he ended up an addict. Thankfully, he's been clean now. He got on a methadone program, and he's got clean, and he's turned his life around. Now, it's been a long process, but he has done it.
Okay, that's good news.
There's an old Irish saying, a man takes a drink, the drink takes a man. It's exactly the same with any other drug. Alcohol is a drug, heroin is a drug, an addict is an addict. And yes, it is defined in all medical books as a disease, an illness. It is not just a thing of, you know, nobody picks up a drink at, what, say, 18 years of age, just to be legal, and say, oh, well, I'll
become an alcoholic now.
You know, nobody just wakes up one morning and says, hey, I think I'll become a drug addict today. It sounds like fun. It doesn't happen that way. And I have a background in sociology and criminology. And when you look at what happens within society and trauma, people suffer. And, you know, a lot of people have suffered trauma over the last several years, you know, and it's just...
Okay, Lorraine, let me go back to you for a second. We don't know why some people end up alcoholics or drug addicts. There could have been trauma in their life, and they use substances as a way of alleviating the pain of the trauma in their lives. We don't know, and we always assume you're just a selfish pig, you shouldn't have taken the drug in the first place.
But as I said, heroin, we all know this devastating effects of it. As for trauma, everyone has had trauma in their life. I didn't turn to heroin when I had trauma in my life. I didn't turn to drink when I had trauma in my life. You can't use that as an excuse.
No, you dealt with it differently. You dealt with whatever trauma is in your life differently than somebody else.
No, it's called self-medication, and where people don't know where to get mental health assistance or whatever. And you know that the state of the mental health system in Ireland, it is diabolical. They don't know where to get help, and they turn to what's called self-medication. Now, it may be alcohol, it may be drugs, but that's what it's called. You look at any psychological book, anything like that, and that's exactly what it's called.
Self-medication all you want. As I said, heroin is not a new drug. We all know the devastating effect it has on people. Everyone's saying...
Lorraine, you could say the exact same thing about alcohol. Alcohol has been around even longer than heroin. We all know that some people can get completely and utterly destroyed by alcohol.
You don't have alcoholics walking around the city centre injecting alcohol into their groins.
No, you have them sitting drinking whiskey out of a paper bag. I only saw it on Sunday. Yeah. Literally, a paper bag drinking whiskey out of it. So, no, the point I'm making is alcohol has been around for years and years and years. Nobody takes their first drink saying, listen, I'm setting out to be
Why
an alcoholic.
Have to talk about it? I'll bring up alcohol.
Because it's a drug as well.
Alcohol is a drug. Cigarettes are a drug. They're all drugs. They're all addictive. But nobody, you know, nobody sets out to be an addict. There's not one person in this country who thinks, okay, I'm going to become an addict. You know, and to treat addicts of any caliber as scum of the earth is just wrong. They are human beings. They are people's members of the family. You know, you go through heartbreak. Like my member of the family was 14 years of age. Was he supposed to know at 14 all the dangers of heroin?
Yeah, but that's a failure of parenting, surely, that a 14-year-old would even get their hands on heroin.
Believe you me, kids are getting hold of this stuff.
No, 14-year-olds.
Not 14-year-olds.
No, that's not a common thing.
Here, Dad, I hate to tell you.
Sorry, 14-year-olds.
A friend of a friend.
Here we go. It's a made-up story now.
No. I'm saying...
No, it's absolutely
don't
not.
Be so naive as to... Sure, for God's sake, there's 10-year-olds delivering drugs around this city.
I'm saying there's no 14-year-olds on the back of the school bus on the way home with a tin foil and lighting heroin.
Absolutely not. No.
No.
He didn't inject it first. It started off all the drugs and then it went on to smoking it and eventually it ended up injecting it.
And when so you find this attitude that people have towards any type of an addict, where this goes back to one of the first messages I played earlier on, we point the finger at addicts, we look down our noses at them, we just don't care.
No, people don't care. You know, I'm not from Dublin, but I've been in Dublin and I see people sitting there. My heart goes out to them because I don't think that's no life anybody chooses. And it most certainly is not any mother.
But the word you use, the life that somebody chooses, they did choose that life. They chose.
No, they didn't choose to be an addict.
Yes, they did. They chose.
No, even when you're taking heroin for the first time, you don't smoke it or whatever in the first place and say, listen, lads, let's all become addicts. Come on, let's go.
You know that heroin is one of the most addictive drugs.
Sorry, Jeremy, alcohol is just as addictive.
No, why is there always a comparison?
People literally die from alcoholism.
Yes, far more people die from alcoholism than any other drug in Ireland.
There you go. And yet we seem to view it differently.
Well, that's because proportionately, lads, more people drink alcohol than take heroin. I don't know anybody that takes heroin. I don't know anybody that doesn't take alcohol.
I know three people in the local area that take it.
But if you saw somebody sitting... on O'Connell Bridge, as I saw myself only on Sunday just gone.
Oh, can we shut up about
alcohol? Drinking whiskey out of a paper bag, you'd also look down your nose at him.
Can we shut up about alcohol? There's no comparison.
There is a comparison.
There is comparison.
There absolutely is. Do me a favour, Karina, stay there for 1 second if you can, please. I want to bring in more opinions on this. This is Kelly.
Lads, a family member of mine is an ex-drug addict, and I'll be the first person to hands down and say she's a selfish bitch. I had to revive her twice from a heroin overdose, and she found it absolutely hilarious. She had no empathy for the people around her. She didn't give a shite. She was back up the next day using. She had actually said to me, well, I'm not going to heaven because I didn't see the light. And I personally found that absolutely fucking disgusting. Like, you've got the likes of people with cancer and that don't deserve to have diseases like that. And an addiction is not a fucking disease. It's a fucking choice. They choose to do it. So why the fuck should we have sympathy for them? You don't wake up in the morning born. You're not born a heroin addict. You choose to do it. So, yeah.
Opinions matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Let me just refer back to that message that we played a moment ago. And Karina, what I'm hearing from the majority of the calls coming in is that becoming a drug addict was an initial choice. You know the severe risks you're taking by ever touching heroin in the first place.
Do you? I don't know. I've never taken heroin.
No, nor have I.
But I just think nobody goes into it to think, or maybe they're hurting so much that they don't actually care. You know, there is lack of mental health resources in this country. It is proven that an awful lot of people that are addicts have mental health problems, as in depression and more severe things like PTSD and other things. So that is proven. Another problem with Ireland is they do not have enough rehab centres. There is some, but they don't take in people that are in an active addiction. Very few take them actually in and detox them. They have to detox first before they ever get into a rehab centre. You know, it's very, very hard for a heroin addict or even an alcoholic or anybody else to stay sober long enough or to stay clean long enough to get into a rehab centre, and they end up relapsing before they ever get in because there's not enough treatment centres that take somebody in an active addiction and detox them.
Karina, hang on there for one second because somebody wants to talk to you. But before that, John was on earlier on. He's not happy with me and the alcohol comparison.
Sorry, lads. How many people are going down back alleys to buy alcohol off complete strangers? Alcohol that's cut with other liquids and stuff like that. Alcohol fully licensed and has restrictions around it and health stuff around it. Buying a bag of powder that you know what's in it is completely different to buying a bottle of wine or a bottle of whiskey.
I don't agree with you, John. The net result, the end result of your in addiction is the exact same. It's the exact same thing, except you're addicted to a different substance. That's all. Doesn't matter where you're buying it. The fact of the matter is, I've seen guys in town drinking paint strippers, for God's sake. So it's just a different addiction. Angela, you're on Opinions Matter. You're annoyed, Angela, with what Karina's been saying.
Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed with Karina and a bit annoyed with you as well, to be honest. But you both answered one of my questions. Did you ever take heroin? Why didn't you, Adrian?
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, quite honestly, because in my entire life it was never offered to me, so it's never crossed my path.
That's bullshit now, Adrian.
It's not.
That's not what I'm asking. There's
your answer.
Did you ever take heroin?
Did I ever take heroin? No.
If it was offered to you, would you have taken it?
Sure, that's a hypothetical. I don't know the answer to that. I can tell you when I was a young fella, I was offered cannabis, I was offered a joint, and I took it.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about heroin here. Do you know, Karina, did she ever take heroin? No.
No, why not? I haven't, no.
Why not?
Well, I grew up in the 80s. Heroin was rife in Dublin, but I grew up in Donegal and it wasn't rife here at that time, but it is now.
But e-tablets were. Cocaine was. Heroin was. And they're all gateway drugs. Do you know what? The two of you are avoiding the answer that you wouldn't. Would you take heroin, Adrian?
No, I wouldn't.
Why?
Because it's an extremely addictive substance.
Yeah. So you're sticking up for people out there who make a choice.
Sorry, so are the John Player Blue cigarettes that I smoked for years and years. Shut up for a second. You don't know anything about addiction.
Come here. I'm a smoker, Angela, and I'm a drinker, Adrian.
Okay, I was a kid, I knew cigarettes were addictive because my entire family smoked.
But you still made a conscious choice.
Sorry, don't tell her
to take a substance that I knew was addictive.
Don't tell a lady to shut up.
Hold on a second. How many years did you smoke?
40-odd.
40-odd years, right? Yep. I'm still smoking. Do you ever go out and steal money to get cigarettes?
No, you used to rob them off my mother, though.
Yeah, but did you ever break into a shop to get money? Did you ever try and rob a bank? Did you ever try and rob someone? How many people out there who are smokers and drinkers go out and steal thousands from their family? How many people do you know are addicted to cigarettes and have drug dealers call to their door?
But aren't I the lucky one that I was in an addiction that wasn't as expensive, that I could afford to feed, and that I didn't have to rob anybody in order to feed it?
Exactly. That's your choice, wasn't it?
If you go without a cigarette, you're not going to die for it. But if you go without heroin, you could possibly go into seizures, etc. And you could die.
So now you're making excuses for them going to rob and You are. You're saying if you don't have your fix, you go and you rob. And you go a survivor of cancer, okay? I'm a survivor of cancer, 14 years in July. And the one thing that really annoys me is when people turn around and compare a heroin addict or a junkie to me. Don't do that.
Well, I'm sorry, it's my mother.
Don't
my
you
father.
Ever do that. I lived with a coke addict, right? I lived with a coke addict. And you know what he left me with? He left me with thousands of euros in debt, where I had his drug dealers threatening my family, threatening me, threatening my dogs, the house I live in, all my friends.
Okay, but my question, and in fact, not my question, Sheila's question, the lady who contacted us in the first place was, why do we have such a horrible attitude towards people living in addiction, to the point that people literally wished her son dead when she put up a post?
I wouldn't wish anyone dead, but I can tell you, I would not give a continental shit about them. I can remember when I was getting on a plane, flying home from New York, I got a text message from my boyfriend's drug dealer to say that he was after taking so much coke that night that I don't know if he's dead. And do you know what I did? Do you know all I thought of coming home for 5.5 hours on that plane? Who am I going to ring first? Will I ring the guards? Will I ring an ambulance? I didn't care, because I had had it up to my eyes at that stage. I didn't care, because he put me through so much shit. And you're all talking about it being a mental illness. What about the mental illness of the people around them? What about their mothers, their fathers, their kids, their friends that they have robbed from, that they have stole from, that have to pay their debts, that have to sit there and watch them go through that? Nobody's thinking of their mental illness. This is a choice that people make.
Sorry, Karini, I know you're trying to get back in there. Go on.
Yeah, there's a great group for family members of addicts. I think it's called Al Neiman. It's related to the AA. And anybody that is living with somebody that is in active addiction should really seek out their support, because they are very, very good.
They should pick them out is what they should do. You shouldn't have to go to a support group. You should not have to go to a support group because your scum of a son, brother, father, mother, whatever, is putting you through this. You shouldn't have to go to a support group, because I'm telling you now, everything that he did to me during his addiction in my house still affects me now. It still affects me. And no support group would ever help me with that because of what he did. I couldn't so much as leave anything of value around the house because it'd be gone and sold. You know, no support group is going to help you with that. Kick them out. That's what I would say.
A lot of people will be going through exactly the same thing. You know, people in groups like that will have a family member that's robbed them left, right and centre. You know, they will offer support.
And you're excusing that for mental illness.
Addiction's not technically a mental illness. A lot of people with addiction have mental health issues like depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar disorder, several other disorders. Does everybody that have them end up an addict? No, but an awful lot do. Now, it is diagnosed. You ask any doctor, is drug addiction an illness? Is it a disease? And every one of them will say it is.
No, they won't. No, they won't. Because I can tell you, my doctor didn't say it was.
I know several addiction counsellors, and every single one of them will tell you that it's an addiction.
A counsellor will tell you that, not a doctor.
Yeah, my doctor will tell me too. I spoke to her at length about it. She's very, very good. And yes, and try the thing called Google. Try Googling exactly what
addiction
is. Don't
be patronising to me, please. Don't be patronising to me. I don't need to Google anything to do with addiction, because I've lived through it. I've been through it. I don't need to Google it.
Okay, so when you hear, let's bring it back to Sheila's conversation. When you hear of a drug addict ending up in hospital on death's door after overdosing, what goes through your mind?
They're taking up a bed of somebody who has an actual disease.
Oh, jeez, that's awful. Now, seriously, Angela.
No, I'm deadly serious, Adrian. I am deadly serious. You lived through this. You lived through it, and you will have the exact same thing. When there's thousands of euro and people say, oh, money doesn't matter. Bloody well does. When you don't have the rent, when you don't have your bills, when it's all gone up their nose or gone into their arm.
How many people go into A&E on Saturday night because of drink? You know, are they taking up hospital beds as well?
They are.
Well, they are.
Because they're the ones who chose it. That's what I'm saying. But the thing is, it's a choice you make. You chose never to do heroin. Did you?
well, but never the opportunity never rose when I was younger. So
oh Jesus, this bullshit with the opportunity. I never got the opportunity to do it, but if you know, want to get it, you'll get it.
Can I ask you, Karina? Can I ask you? You've heard the attitude from Angela. You've heard it from many other callers. What do you think of that attitude where we couldn't give a damn when we hear somebody ends up in hospital because of an overdose? We couldn't care less. What do you think of that attitude?
I think that's somebody's son, daughter, brother, whatever. You know, they have family. They are human beings. They're not, you know, sometimes people pay more attention to a poor dog on the street, you know, and they'll just step over them. Same with homeless people.
Well, in fairness, a dog on the street isn't going to leave a discarded needle there for your child to sit on.
No, it'll leave, it'll leave shite on the ground for you to walk on.
Yeah, but a dog knows no better.
You could argue a drug addict, when they're in the heights of their addiction, knows no better. That's just the fact of it. Let me bring in Eddie on this.
Adrian, you sound very naive that this woman, when she reached out, didn't get any sympathy. Not a lot of people have sympathy for drug dealers or for drug addicts, because there's no such thing as a thoughtful junkie. They will fucking rob the eyes out of your head if it means they're going to get their next fix. And when people have someone like... The people who I feel sorry for, it's not the actual junkie, it's the family and the friends who have to put up with it, who can't fucking leave anything down because it'd be fucking gone in a heartbeat. That's who I feel sorry for.
All right, Eddie, thanks very much indeed. And Tracy?
I feel very sorry for that lady and her family to be going through what they're going through. And I would not wish death on her son at all. I hope he recovers and I hope he gets help. But we need to look at the bigger picture here. And I know people are saying that they don't all rob and everything, but the reality of it is they have to rob to pay for the habit, because they can't hold 9-to-5 jobs because they can't function because they're on drugs. They're dependent on the drugs. They will do everything they can in their power to get the drugs. So I'm not saying they all go in with syringes and knives and start holding people up, but the majority of them, when I've seen it, and they rob from their families. And back in the early 90s, like I was like 14, 15, and I remember I used to hang around with this girl, and at the time our older brother was a drug addict. But us being young, we didn't know to the extent of how he was. So one time he gave me friend a gift of a ring, and it was lovely, and she put the ring on her. And we went out one day and we were just hanging around in an estate where we used to live, and there was a big gang of us, and this girl came over to her and just started battering the head off her and jumped her. So we were all like, what's going on here? What happened? And the ring that she was after being given from her brother was after being robbed from this girl's house, and it was her mother's ring. So, like, after that, my friend was just devastated. And that was when she realised the extent of what her brother would actually do to feed his habit. And she had to start locking her bedroom door because she had a lot of other jewellery. And he used to rob the mother and father blind and everybody. And everybody around where we lived knew who he was and knew what we was doing. And so my friend always got the backlash of that. So this is what I'm saying. People have to realise that's why people don't have a lot of sympathy for the addicts themselves. It's because they know the levels and the lows they go to actually feed the habit.
And that is the sad part of addiction as well, Tracy, that it takes such control over you that you do stoop that low. I've spoken to recovered addicts who look back on what they did with shame. It's not like they don't have shame. They do have shame for what they did, but they were in the throes of that addiction and it had total control over them.
Interesting conversation, though, isn't it? Interesting debate. We'll never meet.
No, probably not.
No.
Thank you for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. If you enjoyed it, please hit subscribe or follow. Click on the little bell icon on Spotify and you'll get a notification when we upload a new episode. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.